There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
So we live in one of the world's least stressful cities. There you are, here in Dubai. We're doing really well. Abu Dhabi and Dubai is not stressful. It's a new piece of research out. I think that feels nice.
It does feel nice. Chris is kind of nodding along, going, yeah. Kind
doing
of
the scratchy beard.
I'm stressed wherever I live.
You go at breakneck speed, though, don't you?
Universal stress.
No, but the top 10, here you go. Stuttgart is the least stressful city on Earth, according to this research. It's, who's done the research? ZipJet. There you are, London-based company. So clearly it's absolutely right. Luxembourg City in Luxembourg is the second. Hanover in Germany, Bern, Switzerland, Munich, Germany. Germany doing really well for not being stressed, by the way, which is surprising. Bordeaux in France, Edinburgh in the UK, not stressful at all. Chris McCarty?
Yes.
Did you say so? Yeah. No. Aye. And Sydney in Australia. And there's a tie, 9th and 10th. Graz, is that right, in Austria? And Hamburg in Germany. So if you're from Germany, you're really, really laid back, apparently.
Germany, Austria, and Switzerland, it seems, are the places to go and live if you want a stress-free life.
Yeah, so isn't that amazing?
Those Why
are the
not?
Least stressful cities. I don't know. Here you go, Chris, this will make you feel... Well, it may not make you feel at home, actually, because I think this is a specifically Glaswegian phrase. Kevin Bridges is from that city, as you know. He's coming back on October the 19th. So her indoors, Mrs. Elliot, has been saying Glaswegian phrases because she comes from there, and we're asking you to translate this.
I win by all your heat.
You don't use that up where you're
we
from, do you?
We do not. I had to ask for a translation on that as well this afternoon. It just shows you that Scotland, despite being a rather small place, that we have different dialects and different sayings for very different things.
So I hear that
new to me, that, I've got to be honest.
It's new, really? You've never heard that before?
Never heard. Not in the context, and I don't want to give away the answer, but I had to, and you can vouch for it. I had to ask you. I was like, what on earth does that mean? It's not something we use up in Aberdeenshire.
I feel a sense of surprise that we foxed you.
Yes,
to be honest with you.
On something Scottish as well.
I hear it at home a lot.
No surprise there, Tim.
Just have to live with it. But there you are. Text us on 4001 or via the free app, and we'll give you two tickets to go and see Kevin Bridges. Now, I wanted to start with On Sports Tonight, tonight, Chris, is... I know you're talking football, but this is an interesting story, I think, because it's the Syrian football team against the Australian football team in Malaysia, but it's just how far Syria have come as a sporting nation in such adverse circumstances.
It is a remarkable story, Tim. I don't think it's been given enough column inches and airtime. I've got to be very honest about that. Syria, it's a remarkable story. We all know the political situation over in that particular country with the civil war that continues to rage. It's been raging for the best part of 7 years. And for Syria to do what they have done in a footballing standpoint to get to within, it is four matches of the FIFA World Cup finals next summer in Russia. They've got a two-legged playoff against Australia, the first leg of which is tomorrow afternoon, 4 p.m. local time here in the UAE. It's over in Malaysia. They're having to play their matches in a neutral venue due to the problems in Syria. It's quite remarkable. They were just minutes away from securing what would have been an automatic place. They got a late equaliser. They pushed for a winner against Iran in their last group match. It wasn't to be, but the dream is still alive. And we're going to pay homage to what they have done already. We're going to look at the story in a little bit more detail from 7 p.m. this evening. And we are meant to be neutral. We are meant to be impartial. And I do apologise to our Aussie listeners, but it would just be it would be better, I would argue, than Leicester City's Premier League fairy tale of a few seasons ago if Syria were to reach their first ever World Cup final, given what has gone on behind the scenes.
It's incredible, isn't it?
It is.
Really,
it really
nice
is
story.
An amazing story. And I kind of think maybe a lot of Australian football fans are thinking, well, if it did happen, it wouldn't be such a bad thing.
Well,
it's one of those.
I guess the only problem with it is, even if Syria do get past the Socceroos over two legs, they've got another two-legged playoff against the team that finishes fourth over in the North American qualifying, which that could well be the United States of America. So they've got a couple of difficult hurdles. They've already done remarkably well to get where they are already, and to complete the job would be one of the greatest sporting fairy tales the world has ever seen, I think.
Mm. You mentioned North America. You're joined by one of the great North Americans.
I can't do a Robbie Greenfield impression of Mr. Chris, but yes, he will be joining us this evening. An awful lot to get through. We've been neglecting US sport a little bit. I know we talked about Trump and taking the knee. We won't go there this evening regarding what's going on in the NFL, but we're keen to talk what has happened both on the pitch, on the courts, and on the baseball mound as well. So Ross Chris will be joining us after 7:30. Dwayne Wade back. He's back in cahoots with LeBron James. He signed up with the Cleveland Cavaliers, so we'll be getting Ross's reaction to that. We'll be updating you on what's going on in NFL. And there's also the playoffs in Major League Baseball. So all of that will be wrapped up this evening just after 7:30.
All right then, World Cup qualifiers tomorrow, Chris. What are you thinking?
Looking forward to Syria, Australia, no doubt about that. But there's an awful lot of intrigue surrounding other Arab nations. Only right that we put the focus on that over the next couple of days. We've got Egypt and Morocco. They're still within a chance. And Tunisia. Let's not forget Tunisia. They've got a great opportunity of reaching the World Cup finals. And in the case of Egypt, they've not been at a World Cup finals since 1990. That shows you how long it's been. The same year that the UAE made it, of course. So we're looking forward to seeing how they get on. Morocco still with a chance as well. And then other fixtures, Argentina against Peru. Argentina, I won't say it, they've still got a couple of matches, but they don't get a favourable result against Peru, then Lionel Messi, the greatest player of all time, I make that argument, then he could be missing out in the World Cup finals next summer. So an awful lot of intrigue. Not often we say that about international football over the course of the next couple of days, but it's heating up nicely. It is the business end of World Cup qualifying, and we will have some of the other nations booking their place for Russia next summer.
And if we can talk a little bit about the Formula One, Chris.
Formula One this weekend, yes, Japan. It is the fifth final race, if that makes sense. They're over in Suzuka. They'll then head for North America. They're up in the States, Mexico, Brazil, and then it all comes back round to Abu Dhabi, 26th of November. Lewis Hamilton leads the way on 34 points ahead of Sebastian Vettel. We had David Croft, the F1 commentator, on Sports Tonight last night, and he was suggesting that both Ferrari and Mercedes, not quite where they would want to be at this moment in time. Mercedes struggling with pace. Ferrari had a difficult past month or so, given the fact they had a horror of a home race over in the Italian GP. They crashed out of Singapore, and then of course Vettel had those engine problems over in Malaysia this past weekend. So one or two problems. The good news from a Ferrari perspective, Sebastian Vettel will not be given a grid penalty. They have found that his gearbox problem from the weekend not as bad as once feared, which means he is free to go toe-to-toe with Lewis Hamilton to hopefully secure a pole position and close in that 34-point gap before we head for North America.
Because you can't change your gearbox.
That's exactly it. The rules say that if you change your gearbox, you are given a 5-grid penalty. Right. So the good news from the Ferrari boys is they've had a look at the issue. They won't need to replace that gearbox, which means, as I say, Sebastian Vettel is clear to go head-to-head with Lewis in qualifying and ensure that he can gain pole as he looks to close that gap, 34 points with 5 races remaining.
Iman's text in, how come you don't talk about curling? I don't know, Iman. Is there a curling world championships on at the moment?
There is not to my knowledge, but I'll happily talk Eve Muirhead and the Scottish lasses up there because, of course, curling is a belting sport for us, and Eve Muirhead is the skip of the Scottish women's team. So I can easily talk curling if you want to talk curling.
I have to say again, there's no notes. He doesn't have notes, McCarty. It's in his head.
It's in my head.
Isn't it? It's unbelievable. Do you know, there were two stories on the BBC website today. I was reading earlier on, trying to, digest some information. I've got the notes here in front of me. But it's interesting, there's two wunderkids that are being talked about at the moment. So we've got Pietro Pellegri, who plays for, is it Genoa?
Genoa, yeah.
I think it is, who's 16th, the new Messi. Lots of talk about him at the moment. I'm wondering about your opinion of him. And also, and this is the best story of the day, I think, the new Tiger in golf. And it's not Tiger Woods, it's Tiger Williams.
Tiger Williams. Let's start there, shall we? Because this is a story that has certainly tickled Robbie Greenfield, the biggest golfing fan in the world, I think. It tickled him pink earlier today because Robin Tiger Williams, his middle name is Tiger. And I should point out, a little fun fact, that is indeed Tiger Woods' middle name. He's actually called Eldrick. It's Eldrick Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
So Robin Tiger Williams, a 16-year-old boy from Peterborough over in the United Kingdom. He's ranked number one in Europe for his age group. His family sent him over to Florida, I think it was, when he was 12 years age to a golfing academy. And he's making waves. Yeah, okay, he's making some waves for his golfing ability, but it's more in the fact that he's called Tiger, which I just shake my head at that. Putting undue pressure on a young boy's shoulders a little bit, but he's getting the column inches, and I'm sure Nike, Adidas, and all the other brands out there will be taking a keen eye on what he's doing.
That's a guarantee, isn't it?
Of course.
If you get Tiger Williams, you're going to get coverage.
And the fact he's got Williams as a surname as well,
yeah,
is you know, sporting heritage there with both Venus and Serena, of course. But yeah, he's a boy, no doubt. He's very talented. Mm. His name helps matters, but a lot of pressure. But he talks he's very mature. I watched the little clip earlier this afternoon. He talks as if he's 35, not 16, and big future ahead. Let us hope that he does go on to fulfil that potential, and we could yet have another Tiger on everyone's lips.
But we do, you do sort of hear now, over 25 and you passed it in golf, really, which didn't used to be the case at all, did you? If you look at, you know, Jordan Spieth, I think, you know, some of these young guys now, really, Rory McIlroy probably passed it.
Well,
you know. No, but all
it's
seriousness,
true. No,
I think
you're
it's
right.
The way it's going in
I
golf.
Think golf and I think the golfing career, you're right, Nat, it's becoming a lot shorter, you know, 10, 15 years at the very top because of the stress that these boys are putting their bodies through, you know, the velocity with which they swing these golf clubs these days. And that was something Darren Clark pointed out a couple of weeks ago in our studios, that, you know, before you used to see individuals competing for majors back end of 40, 50 in the case of Jack Nicklaus, and that's maybe just changing. The landscape of golf is changing. It's becoming an ever increasingly younger man and younger girls game.
It's an athlete's game now, and traditionally it's been a sportsman's game.
It's similar to darts,
kind of,
you know.
Yeah.
Real athletes required for darts and real athletes required in golf.
Oh. There is the sporting state of the day. Golf is like darts.
Robbie is not going to be happy with you.
Oh, we look forward to your very angry text on 4001 about that. Pietro, is it Pietro or Pietro?
Pietro
Pellegrini.
Incredible. He's 16 years of age. He is the youngest player in Serie A history to score 2 goals. He started the last 3 games for Genoa. He's not long turned 16 either, which is unbelievable. He's 6'2", a bit different from Messi. Messi's more diminutive. He's a big strapping lad at 6'2" for a 16-year-old. His father, it's a wonderful story, his father Marco is actually team manager for Genoa, and he was in tears when he scored 2 goals against Lazio last month. They actually went on to lose the match 3-2, but for a 16-year-old to be mixing it with the best defenders in world football over in the Italian top flight, keep an eye on this young boy. A lot of big clubs are looking at him, but he is Genoa through and through, and well, they're giving him his chance to make his name. 16 years of age.
Juve were after him, I know.
Juve, Roma, Inter Milan, Manchester United have asked about him as well. 16 years of age. Remember the name, Pietro Pellegrini.
Okay, it's very like Zlatan. Zlatan's his hero, isn't it?
Zlatan is his hero.
That's the kind of style. Yeah. All right, then, very quickly before you go, Chris.
The last word
will be on display to the entire world later this month.
Okay, so once more.
The last word
will be on display to the entire world later this month.
Ah, so many words and so little time. I'm thinking the Mona Lisa.
The Mona Lisa.
I'll go Scottish on you. I'll say my head. Which translates to my head.
My head will be on display. Chris McCarty's head on display. Perish that thought.
You've gone for Mona Lisa, Chris has gone for his head. If you've got a better answer than these two jokers, text in on 4001 or via the free messaging app.
You've opened a can of worms, then.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.